Good morning again. Glad you all are here. You're always welcome. I know some of you came from out of town, and it's good to see faces from the past. So good to see y'all. God bless you. So Weston was supposed to be preaching today, and he's tested positive for COVID. So be keeping Weston in your prayers. I talked to him last night, and he's doing well. Fatigued, a few symptoms, but grateful to the Lord that thus far everything is progressing well. And so just keep their family in your prayers. Lauren was to have come here today to be on the keys, and I think Austin was going to be on the bass. So they've shifted gears as well, so well done. Anyway, it says in 2 Timothy 4, preach the word, be ready in season, out of season. So when I got the confirmation on Friday, I thought, well, guess who's preaching on Sunday? So this morning's sermon will be a little bit of a mashup between Weston's thoughts and the passage that he had intended to bring, because I take that seriously, that the Lord had put that on his heart to bring that message today. But I could never preach his words. They need to be the words God's given me. So I took some of what he had sent me, and then kind of put my own stamp on it as well. So good morning again. The danger of nothing. The danger of nothing. Let me tell you about a book that's very famous, and I encourage you to read it. It's called The Screwtape Letters, published in 1942. Let me give you just a quick description of the book. It's about two main characters, three characters really. Uncle Screwtape, who's a senior demon, and this is all kind of an allegory, and he's a senior demon in Satan's forces, basically. And then his nephew is Wormwood, who is a junior tempter. And so this is a series of letters back and forth between Screwtape and Wormwood. And Screwtape, being the sage advisor that he is giving advice to his nephew about how to beset and trip up and afflict the third character, in this case the British caricature of common man, the patient. And so apparently Wormwood has been assigned someone to trip up and tempt. In his book, Lewis says this about nothing. Nothing is strong enough to steal away a man's best years. Not in sweet sins, but in a dreary flickering of the mind. Over it knows not what and knows not why. In the gratification of curiosity so feeble that the man is only half aware of them. Now, in this season, we're just one day left here in the month of January. This is a famous month, isn't it, for making resolutions and setting goals. And so we all do it at times, and we've got goals, don't we? We make goals, we set resolutions, we have aspirations. But goals are only as good as the process that it takes to get there. And before we dig into the passage, I want to give you one more quote that's extra biblical, that's outside of the text. In his book Atomic Habits, James Clear writes, "You do not rise to the level of your goals, you fall to the level of your systems." I think that's very good. You do not rise to the level of your goals, you fall to the level of your systems. And we would never spend our time majoring on two quotes outside of the Bible. So we're about to get into the text right away to see where God's wisdom shows up even in other places, like a book called Atomic Habits or a book called The Screwtape Letters. And I thank God that his wisdom is best, and people who really gain an insight in these things understand that. Even if they don't know him, they understand that his ways are best, and they write about him. And so this morning, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5. So if you have your Bibles, please turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And we're specifically going to be majoring on verses 15 through 17. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Ephesians, and I'll come back to this in a little bit with a little bit more background of the book, because I think it matters for the next steps that Weston has encouraged us to take in this week. But here's what Ephesians 5, 15 through 17 says. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. I like the jar with the marbles that you guys got. It really goes along with this verse here. It reminds you, make the best use of time with little Leah Kate. I sound like an old man talking now, and I think others can say this too, but they will be 21 through 27 quicker than you think. Those kids, they grow up and age. And you have, many of you in here have older kids than that. And you remember when you were holding yours in your arms just like this. Look then carefully how you walk. And these words, without going into too much depth about the original language meanings of the words, remember Jay said it the other week and I said it the week before that sometimes these words are so rich in their meaning, and some of these words are just super rich. But I'll tell you, as a general rule, all of these words, when it says look carefully, the walk word, make the use of time, understand even, are very action-oriented words. They're very much, don't just be theoretical about these things. Actually, get after it. Get after it and do something. We don't rise to our goals, we fall to the level of our systems. I'll say this later, this word systems, or as Clear would say, habits, is another way of saying in ways we might say it in church, spiritual disciplines. The things that we do to walk with the Lord, day by day by day by day. And it's not always dramatic, it's not always snazzy. It's not always, you know, fireworks. There are times, like Austin was saying, where there's a pivot right away and things change in a moment. And then everything gets interesting and everything is dramatic and everything is bursting fireworks. But many days, it's a long, slow obedience in the same direction, as one author has put it. And so, how will we use our time? Because we will never rise above those systems, those spiritual disciplines. It's just a matter of fact. And so let's just consider for a second the structure of the book of Ephesians. Now, as I mentioned that these beautiful words and their meanings show up in the text, and one of them is pretty plain and straightforward. What's the therefore, therefore? You may have heard this before. It's a concluding word, therefore is. But what's it there for? And so what I did is I took our passage this morning, and I started with what appears to be the goal. And then I worked my way backwards, looking for that same word. Now, sometimes it shows up in different ways in our English text, but I want to let you know that I went backwards. And here we go. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So perhaps you could make the case that this is the goal. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Pretty easy to understand, at least on its surface, pretty straightforwardly stated. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Okay, thanks, preacher. So now you've told me that. More importantly, the text tells me that. So what next? Look at 5:15. Look carefully then, or therefore, how you walk. And I want you to look at the back and forth between the, this goes back to our In God We Trust series that we just came out of, the way of the wise and the way of the fool. The contrast between a certain way of walking and another way of walking. Look carefully, therefore, how you walk. So that's sort of the systems summary statement. Look carefully how you walk. If you got a goal in mind of understanding what the will of the Lord is Remember, it's an action word, ordering things in accordance with that. Then look carefully, therefore, how you walk. Great. Okay. Now let's keep going backwards. Look at what chapter 5, verse 7 says. Ephesians 5, 7. Therefore, do not become partakers with them, or it may say partners with them. Do not become partakers with them. Who's them? Look up above Ephesians 5, 7, verse 5. Everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or is covetous has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. So we kind of get a tag for the group that we're talking about there at the end of verse 6. The sons of disobedience, those who walk in the way of the fool, those who are not following the Lord but are following the ways of evil. Don't become partakers with them. Instead, as chapter 5, verse 1 says, where's our next therefore? Be imitators of God. Imitators of God. Do you see how this cascades back, though? Every time you read one, you know that something came before it that we need to take into account to kind of modify what is being said here. So let's keep working our way back. Chapter 4, verse 17. Therefore, you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. Now, in Scripture, in the New Testament, you had two categories of folk. You had Jewish folk and Gentile folk. Gentile folk is everybody but the Jews, in an easy way of putting things. And so he said, in their ways, they didn't follow God. Don't walk as they do. No longer walk. If you are in Christ, if you are following Jesus, if he has saved you, don't walk as they do, no longer. So kind of take account of your identity. You're not that anymore. So don't walk that way. And then finally, chapter 4, verse 1. I, therefore, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. There it is. So if you have been called as a child of God, if he has saved you, then walk in a manner worthy of that identity, of that calling. I love the way Scripture just, and Paul in particular, the Apostle Paul, is so masterful at putting together this marvelous, sequential, logical path. People complain sometimes about Scripture so hard to understand. I get that there are occasions where there are more complicated passages than others, but that's a very straightforward path. The goal is understand and, again, with the nuance of the word, act according to what the will of the Lord is. The summary system statement or habit statement is, look carefully then how you walk. Take stock, inventory what your life is looking like, what your spiritual disciplines are. And then this series of cascading contrasts back and forth. Don't become partakers with the ones who are sons of disobedience. Imitate God. No longer, because your identity is in Christ, don't walk any longer as the Gentiles do, but walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. Oh, and I forgot, almost forgot, there's one more therefore that uses this exact same syntax in the text, and it's in the next chapter, chapter 6. Stand therefore. Take a look at it with me in Ephesians 6, verse 14. It says, stand therefore. So, again, what preceded it? It's saying stand therefore. Look at verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. I'm looking at a dear friend in the congregation who has lovingly and wonderfully challenged me about the armor of God in the past and how it's made a difference in his life. And his challenge to me was a blessing for me to think about what that looked like in my own life. Now, I looked up some pictures. You know I'm a stickler for putting things in that I've got a license picture to put up on the screen. And I found a really cool kind of modern depiction of armor that I would like to share with you. There it is. There's the Mandalorian, I think. And so, armor up. Armor up. Stand therefore. And so, what do we see as, and these are these habits or these systems or these spiritual disciplines that I would encourage us all to order our lives around. And what do we see in following in chapter 6, verse 14, in the verses that follow? Take up the belt of truth. Take up the breastplate of righteousness. Take up the shoes of readiness by the gospel of peace. Take up the shield of faith. Take up the helmet of salvation. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And in all of these things, bathe them in prayer and keep alert. So there's the systems. We will fall to this right here. That's a pretty good collection of systems to fall upon right there. Belt of truth. Are you a truth teller? Do you order your life based on what is true? The scriptures give us truth. This is God's word. Now let me ask you, if you're going to put on the belt of truth, if I had a bunch of belts in my closet, and for some reason, in terms of the way that I discriminate between my belts, or if I make my selection every morning, I literally can't figure out which one is which. Don't ask me how, but let's just say there's something with me that I can't figure out which one is which. The only way that I will know which one is which is to examine them closely, understand their characteristics, and so I can choose the belt that I need. How in the world would you be able to put on the belt of truth if you didn't go every day to the source of truth? Talk about, okay, Paul Hildebrand, where are you? Okay, engaging the Bible. That's the first plank. I'm going to give you a C- as an elder for that. We're a church family. Say it after me, Paul. We're a church family that is engaging the Bible, pursuing Christ-centered relationships, and sharing the good news of Jesus. His wife is a teaching professional, and so she understands that I'm just trying to teach right now, you know, just trying to get it into his muscle and verbal memory. We're a church family that is engaging the Bible. Take up the belt of truth, right? Be in the Word. Second, the breastplate of righteousness. No longer walk according to those ways. Don't partake with the sons of disobedience. You start by knowing the truth, and then you understand what the way of the wise is, like we just came out of, what God's path is. And therefore, you can take up that breastplate of righteousness, God's righteous way. The shoes of readiness by the gospel of peace. We are a church family that is sharing the good news of Jesus. Paul, the same author of Ephesians, in two different places in the scriptures, one in this actual book says, pray for me that I may be bold to share, and another place that I may share it clearly. Have you ever thought about praying those two things for yourself? Lord, will you give me boldness to share the good news of Jesus? What is the good news of Jesus? Jesus, the God-man, came to us. We didn't have to come to him. We didn't have to reach up to him, but he came to us. Lived a perfect life, died in our place for the sins that we've committed. One sin, it says in scripture, is enough to condemn us before a holy God. And we want a God like that, don't we? We don't want a God who's willing to compromise, who has a imperfect standard. We want that God who has the perfect standard, but we don't want it when it comes to our ability and our effort and our and what it depends upon us, because we are sunk. But praise the Lord, Jesus came to us. And he stood in our place. And he died on the cross. And he rose again. He conquered death. The grave is empty, as one of our songs said. And he paid the penalty for our sins once and for all. And all who will trust in the name of Jesus, who will call upon his name and say, only through you will I ever be saved. Can I be saved? will be saved. Are you ready to be bold and clear with that message to somebody else that you care about? If you care about them, there will never, ever be as important a message to share with them as that. The shield of faith, taking up that shield of trusting in the Lord with all your heart, leaning not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledging Him, even when it seems tough, even when it seems counterintuitive. Lord, I trust You. The helmet of salvation, how many times I can't tell you that I rehearse in my mind the salvation that is mine through Jesus Christ, and it is the antidote to life. It reminds me that I am in His hands and that I am secure. And the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, here it is again, bathed in prayer, marked by alertness. So isn't that wonderful? We've got these systems, these habits, these spiritual disciplines that we are encouraged to take on so that we can accomplish that goal of understanding what the will of the Lord is. And what did our Lord Jesus say in very simple terms was the way to boil all of this down to the will of the Lord? Don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. He notice in the passage it says, what is the will of the Lord? So what is it? It's this. Mark 12:30-31, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and your soul and with your mind and with your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other great commandment greater than these. In another one of the gospel passages, it says, everything hangs on these two commandments in all of the text, in all of the scriptures. Love God, love others as you walk in this path of armoring up. I told you I would close with a little bit of background on the book of Ephesians. We've majored in chapters 4, 5, and 6, haven't we, with all those therefores. Here's what Ephesians 1 through 3 talks about. Chapter 1 is the glory of the Lord and salvation in Him. Past, present, future. Chapter 2 talks about this marvelous salvation. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, but God, verse 4, because of the great love with which He loved us, He saved us. And then in the end of chapter 2 and on into chapter 3, not only just to be on our own, but as Paul and Susan talked about in the announcements today, as we saw depicted in some of what the Osmonds had with them around them, with family and community, and I know they're a part of a small group family as well, it's that they form the church. So we're in this together. That's what chapters 1 through 3 are all about, so that when we get to chapter 4 and it says, therefore walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, you know what the call is. It's all of the above that I just described to you. That's what it's summed up well in Ephesians 2:8-10. By grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It's the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Isn't that a great 1-2 punch? And they're not meant to go separately. You've been saved through nothing on your own doing, only by faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 10, you're His workmanship, His handiwork, masterpiece, are some of the synonyms for that word, created in Christ Jesus as that new creature that's saved for good works which God prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. These dovetail perfectly with the next steps. So the first step, I want to start a relationship with the Lord. Perhaps you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. I pray that today, as you've heard me quote just now Ephesians 2:8-9, and as I've presented the good news of Jesus Christ, come to Jesus today. Trust Him as your Savior. He is your only hope and my only hope. Come to Jesus Christ. And before I finish with these last two, there's this show I've been watching called All or Nothing. It's on Amazon Prime, and it's a series of shows about different sporting teams. It's an apt title even for this sermon today, isn't it? All or Nothing. The one I was recently watching was by about a worldwide football club in England called Tottenham Hotspurs. And they've got a midfielder named Christian Eriksen, and he was in a dispute about his contract with the club, and so he was sitting, and this is a guy who's a seasoned pro. Here's his quote: "If I'm not playing, of course I'm going to be upset. As a footballer, you want to play every game. As one in Christ, you want to play every game. As one who is in Jesus Christ, you don't want to sit on the sidelines. You don't want to have a life marked with nothing." And Ephesians 2:10 says you do not have that life. Ephesians 2:10 says you've been created with purpose in Christ Jesus to walk in a path of good works that He's already figured out for you. So as you go to Him each day and you're in the Word and as you pray and as you stay alert, as you stay in community, I believe God, through His Spirit, will begin to illuminate to you the path that He has for you. Will you walk in it? Will you get in the game? You don't want to just sit on the sidelines. I want to be used by the Lord is the next step. I encourage you to mark all these on your connection card. If you've marked the first one, we will be in touch with you because we want to engage with you and encourage you in your desire to trust Jesus as your Savior. And we'll continue to pray with you and be in touch with you as need be with all these. I want to be used by the Lord. And finally, I want to make an impact. None of this is for our own glory. It's for the glory of the Lord. If you're in Him, you want to play every game. You want to be used of Him. And the beautiful scenario about making an impact is God's in charge of the results. And He's the one who gives the gifts about how we operate. And so just come in step with Him. You'll make all the impact He wants you to make as you follow Him. And so let's get in the game, folks. The danger of nothing is severe and it's real. I encourage you to get in the game, all for the glory of Jesus Christ. God bless you. Love you. Take care.